John chapter 3, and there we'll go to verse number 16. John 3 and verse number 16. Do you feel what I feel up here? You feel that out there? Anything can happen here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Silvers, you think you could chase me down a little water maybe? We're dismissing our youth class at this time to go to their class. God bless our young people. John 3:16, for God so loved, everybody say so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, be the light. Be the light. So look at somebody else and ask them, have you shined this week? Hallelujah. Lord, speak to us through your word today. I pray, anoint me, help me to be a blessing to your wonderful people. God, open our hearts, our spirits, and our minds, and let us receive what you have for us today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over this place one more time. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The monitors are just a little bit hot, just barely. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord, and thank you for standing. I said it this morning, and I'll say it again this afternoon before I preach. Happy anniversary to my wife, my bride of 34 years, and we are celebrating today. Amen. God gave me a good woman, and I'm thankful. I tell her every year. I know I understand more and more how blessed I am. Every year, it seems I understand that more and more, how blessed I am to have a good, godly woman. Can you say amen? So we're celebrating today, and we're going to celebrate over the next few days. We're leaving in the morning to go down to one of our favorite places, which is Nashville, Franklin area, Tennessee. So we're looking forward to a few days. I pray the Lord keep his hand on us as we travel. One of the most expressive scriptures in the Bible, I think, of God's love for us anyway, is John 3:16. For God so loved. So loved the world that he would become a man, and as the Son, he would lay down his life for us. He so loved us that he would go to an old rugged cross and suffer and die in our place for our sins. He so loved us. My grandson Lennox. When you get my age, you have grandchildren stories to tell. You don't talk about your kids anymore. You talk about your grandkids. And we watched him and his brother Lyndon a few weeks ago. Jordan and Emily they went on a little trip themselves. So Cindy and I took one of the boys, and the other set of grandparents took the other boy. And then halfway through the week, we switched off because, well, if you know Lyndon and Lennox, you know why we split them up. You don't let old grandparents watch them both at the same time. Not yet. But Lennox, I took him to school when he stayed with us. I took him to school every morning. And he likes to be picked up. You can pick him up anywhere between 2 and 5, I think. And so he likes to be picked up early. And his way of asking for that is, Papaw, I want you to pick me up so fast. And I said, okay, buddy, I'm going to pick you up so fast. He said, no, so fast. So fast. And I hear his voice when I read this scripture, for God so loved the world. That word so expresses some, it creates emphasis. Not only did he love us, he so loved us. He so loved us. He so loved us. That he would go to the cross. He so loved us that he would suffer and die in our place for our sins, for God so loved us. And so no wonder Paul would write those famous words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16 when he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He so loved us that he gave us a plan of redemption. A plan so great, so miraculous, so special, so precious that there is no other plan. It's the only plan. And so anyone who would stand before you and declare that there are many paths to heaven is telling you a lie, because the Bible says that this plan is the only plan. Peter said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the same sentiment exclaimed by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 2:3 when he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's so great. The answer really is simple, and I pause long enough to emphatically declare it to you this afternoon, that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is no other way. And thank God for so great a love that brought so great salvation. But John no sooner gives us the good news, then he has to turn around and give us the bad. Because if we read on into verse 18 of John 3, he says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. In fact, he says he's condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, he says, is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness. I want you to think about that phrase before we even read the rest. Men loved darkness. Light came, and men loved. They embraced. They loved darkness rather than light. They had a choice. I preached about choices this morning. They had a choice. And it wasn't that they just said, well, I don't really like light as much as I like the darkness. That wasn't it. It wasn't that they said, well, darkness is easier. I think I'll take darkness. That wasn't it. They loved darkness. Have you ever noticed how people, some of them who are wicked, we see it on display very clearly today. There are people, they're not saying, well, I don't really want to be wicked. I don't really like evil. Some of them are embracing this wickedness, embracing evil. They're flying it in your face. And if you present them with an alternative of the darkness, they will be offended at you because they love their darkness. Well, why? Well, he says in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. If I'm doing something wrong, see, I'd rather it not be exposed, and light brings exposure. If we took the lights down here today and there was no light at all, you could be doing whatever. We wouldn't know. You might pick your ear with your keys or whatever. We wouldn't know what you were doing. And if we turned the lights on all of a sudden, some of you might be embarrassed whatever you were doing because you thought you were covered by darkness. And so people who are doing evil say, I don't want light to shine on me, because when light shines on me, it exposes my evil ways. So they love the cover of darkness. They love that secrecy that it provides, the anonymity, that it brings. They like darkness. They love darkness. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Listen to me when I tell you, this is human nature. This is not just evil people. This is people in general. If we are doing something wrong and we're comfortable in that, we don't want to be exposed. And we certainly don't want anybody to tell us what we're doing wrong. Now, you married people, you can relate to this. When your spouse says, I'd like to talk to you, that usually doesn't mean they're getting ready to tell you how much they love you. It usually means, I'd like to talk to you. We need to talk about something. Amen. This past week, I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that my wife and my daughter, you know, they went down to Florida. They were gone. I was on my own. I don't do well on my own. I eat things I shouldn't eat, and I stay up later than I should. And I played a little too much golf, Brother Chad. Are you still playing any golf? Not right now. You're too busy to play golf. Yeah, you're busy, I know. But I got into playing. Jim's not here, so I had to look at you. But I haven't played golf for years, not very much, but I've been getting, Tyler's pulling me back into it, and I like it. I like to play golf. So I played a little bit while she was gone, and then she came back. I picked her up last Sunday. I told you all a little bit about that. And picked her and Abigail up at the airport. Then Monday, she came home Sunday and went to bed, got up, went to work Monday. Monday's the day I usually try to take off, you know. Try to, don't always get to, but I usually try to take it as a day off. So I met another pastor in town. We went down to a little par 3 course in Bloomington, and we played 18 holes. And I had nothing on my schedule last Monday, very rare day. And I looked at him, and I said, you want to play another 9? And he said, well, let me call my wife. And my wife's at work, so I didn't have to check in with her. And then he called his wife and talked to her a little bit. And we, in the process of all of this, I don't want you to think that we were just playing golf all day. Several phone calls and texts, and we stopped and prayed for somebody on the phone and these kind of things. But so he said, okay, we can do another 9. So we played another 9. I said, you want to play another 9? And before I knew it, we played 36 holes of golf. We were there all day. So my wife, you know, she thought I was going to do, I don't remember, there was something she thought I was going to do. Oh, I know. She thought I was going to have the yard mowed. And so when she called me, she was getting ready to get off work. And I said, well, I'm just leaving the golf course. And she got quiet. Literally, I said, hello? And she goes, yeah. And so, well, so we met for dinner. And then as we were walking into the restaurant, I'm not going to tell all our business. Don't worry. You can relax. And she's like, I don't care. She's sitting there. She's literally saying, I don't care. You're the one in the wrong. Go ahead. On the way into the restaurant, she said, we need to talk about you playing golf. And you know what I said? I said, I was hoping you would say that. I really need to, I want to talk to somebody about this, and I'm interested in what you have to say. And no, that's not human nature. When somebody says something we don't want to hear, we don't just automatically embrace it. Darkness, we like darkness. We just assume that our ways that are not maybe right not come to light. So as long as we don't talk about it and she acts like it's okay, then I don't have to deal with it. And so we went into the restaurant and we talked about golf for a few minutes. And I ended up saying, you're absolutely right. You know, I've been married 34 years, guys. I'm getting this. I'm figuring this out. You're right. And so anyway, that's just the way it is. We don't want to have those kind of conversations. And people that are in sin, it's even worse. Because, by the way, I wasn't sinning. I was just being lazy. but sin, oh, man, that's way down. That's in our DNA. And when we're doing evil things, we don't want to be exposed. That's why men love darkness rather than light. Are you with me? Everybody that does evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light. They don't want to walk to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We don't want to be reproved. We don't want to be corrected, not by human nature. But he that doeth truth, here we are, verse 21, watch this, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if I'm going to live for God and I'm going to please God and I want to be used of God, I'm not going to shun the light. I'm going to go to the light and say to the Lord, shine on me, shine on my ways, whatever it be, let it come to light. And if there's something that I need to work on, then so be it. Show me, because if I hide in the darkness, did you know that you can even deceive yourself? The Bible talks about men who deceive themselves and even oppose themselves. And so we can be in the dark, and as long as we can't see ourselves, we go right on down the road doing what we've been doing. We really do need the light. Somebody say amen. The bad news is that light came and men loved darkness rather than light. So hear me when I tell you, we are in warfare. Hear me when I tell you, we are in warfare. It's not with one another. Please understand, if you can see it, if you can see the person, that's not who your battle is with. We're not dimming yet. Sorry. I got you. I see the text now. I was late. No, not yet. I told them right before church, we might do an illustration, and I knew when I said the words a while ago, I probably threw you for a loop. We'll get there. But we are in warfare, and it's not that we're in. Some of you thought you were losing your mind there, didn't you? Is it getting dark in here? The light. I could just have you do that all during the sermon, down and up, down and up. We're in warfare. It's not with one another. It's not with political parties. It's not Christian against Muslim or Christian against atheist. It's not one race against another. That is not where the battle lies. And Paul said it this way very clearly to us in Ephesians 6, verse 10, when he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here it is. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle. We're fighting. We're in warfare. Not against flesh and blood. Not against flesh and blood. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't fight with you. You do not sound very convincing, by the way. I tried to use this scripture Monday on my wife, and she wouldn't have it. I can't fight with you. Can't fight with you about golf. Yes, we're going to fight about this now. It's not against flesh and blood. No, no, no. But against principalities. Watch, these are spiritual things. Principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is where our battle is. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, So there is a fight. This is where it is. It is literally, and we see it more clearly right now than ever before, I believe. If you have any spiritual vision at all, we are in a fight between light and darkness. It all boils down to that. For we wrestle against the rulers of darkness of this world. And I am all for going to the polls or to the voting booths. I'm all for that. I really am. I'm all for Christians. I think that we must speak up. We are right now, I think, as critical juncture as we've ever been right now in our country. For those of you who have no news at all, we just lost a Supreme Court justice, one of the most liberal we've ever had, on the bench. And right now, we have a president who is facing an election in just a couple of months. And right now, he has the opportunity to seat the most conservative bench that we have had in many years, if he is reelected. I'm talking to some of you about this because we need to think about in terms of right and wrong. Not Republican and Democrat, not even liberal and conservative. We need to think in terms of voting our values and thinking about our values. This is not about Democrat or Republican. This is about things like abortion. It's about things like same-sex, same-gender marriage. These are things that biblical concepts that are laid out for us in very clear biblical constructs in the Word of God that when we look at them, we need to look at those and say, okay, what can I do? Because you are a citizen, not only a heavenly citizen, you are a citizen of this country. I didn't mean to go here today, but I do feel led to go here. We must understand that these are not just political battles that we are fighting. Please be careful. Can I say this to you as your pastor? Please be careful the way you come across right now on social media as though you're a conservative or a Republican. I'm not against that. Please understand that I'm not. But we are Christians before we are anything else. We are Christians. And if we get as ugly as the world is on these matters, we lose our voice, we lose our effect, we lose our influence. So we've got to be a light. What does light do when it gets dark? It shines. So the world is in turmoil. What do? We shine. The world is getting darker. What do? We shine. Yes, go vote. Go vote your values. I agree with that. But more importantly than that, we need to stand up right now as the body of Christ, and we need to let our light shine. We've got to love when the world is full of hate. We've got to be peacemakers when everybody around us is fighting. We've got to show our love through social media, through our texts, through our phone calls, through the way we interact with our fellow human beings. We've got to be the love, because there's too much hate in this world, and God has called you to be a light. Come on, somebody shout to the Lord for a moment. God, help me to be a light. Help me to be a light, and help me to shine in the midst of a dark world. Hallelujah. My. I feel the Holy Ghost in all that. I wasn't sure I would, but I do. It is important, church. This is important. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 4:3. Pardon me for all the scripture, but is it okay if we use scripture when we preach? Is that all right? Some preachers don't like to do that anymore. Awful lot of scripture in that sermon. Good. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Why? Watch this. In whom the god of this world, that is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Wow. I love that. This is light. This is light. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the devil's role is to blind their eyes so that even though the light might shine. That's why what I'm preaching here today will make people who live in darkness and who are blind, it'll make them mad. They will not like this sermon. Amen. So what do we do? Well, we need to pray against the blinder of eyes. We need to bind him. We need to ask the Lord to open their eyes so that the light that is shining can make it to their spiritual retinas, into their eye sockets, into their spiritual brains, and they can perceive there's something better. This is the message of the gospel. It's not you're wrong, you're going to hell. Who wants to go to church with somebody that's constantly telling them they're going to hell? Not me. But here's the gospel. The gospel is about this. The gospel says you can have a better life. You can have a better culture. There is a better way. You are in sin? Yes, of course. We were all born in sin. But I found a better way. And so the light shines before them, not shaking our fists back at the world. The world is shaking their fist at the church right now more than ever before. They're angry at us. They don't like us. They're mad at us. They do not like us. The worst thing the church can do, start shaking our fists back and say, oh yeah, because we can one-up them. We really can. We've got right on our side, but that's not what it's about. This is not about winning a contest. This is about winning souls. And the only way we win souls is to let the love of Jesus Christ shine, emanate through our lives. And when they see the light, when the devil is bound and their eyes are open and they see the light of the gospel shining unto them, they will, I believe this, they will run and not walk. Run to the light of the gospel. Shout amen if you believe that today. This is important. This world is depending on us. we preach, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Aren't you glad he shined in your heart? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. This is how light responds to darkness. We're troubled on every side. You ever been there? Some of you are there right now. Troubled on every side, but how do we respond? Yet not distressed. What does that mean? We're not stressed out. We're troubled. But listen, let's try something here. Give me a minute here. Oh man, I feel like I just had a flashback to one of the presidential candidates that came out with his phone. Hey, you can turn them down. Just turn them all the way down real quick. And I want you to see what happens here. My light shining. Can you see it real bright? Yeah, not that bright yet, but watch this. Look at it now. So my light shines, your light shines all the time, every day, all the time. Even when it's dark, it shines. Now, when daylight comes back, still shining. It shines on the mountaintops, it shines in the valleys, it shines on the good times, it shines in the bad times. We are distressed. Bring it down now. Distressed. Bring the lights down. We're troubled on every side. Trouble comes, darkness comes, yet not distressed. We still shining. Amen. We're perplexed. Yeah. Darkness all around. Yet not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Church, this is important. Is it okay if I preach with the lights off for just a few minutes? This is important. The world is depending on us to get this right. Here is our role in this messed up world of darkness. And we see it in Paul's famous testimony to King Agrippa as he told of his miraculous encounter and introduction to Jesus on the road to Damascus. Remember it? And he's recanting to Agrippa, Paul is, his conversion. He says, and I said, verse 15 of 26 of Acts, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. In verse 16, he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Watch verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. This is our purpose. Do you see why we can't get wrapped up in fights? We can't get wrapped up in brawls. We can't get wrapped up in politics. We can't get wrapped up in fighting with others in the church. We can't get wrapped up in all the affairs of this world, because we're on the Lord's side and we're in a mighty army. And we are to let our light shine. We are called to open their eyes. We are called to turn them from darkness to light. Listen, the Lord did not save us so we could have good church. He didn't save us so we could have good choirs and good singers and good programs. He saved us to send us into a world of darkness, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's our role. that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I was driving down the road the other day, and the weirdest thing happened to me. I saw a guy, I just saw him passing by in his truck. This is very anticlimactic. It's not going anywhere, so don't get all excited about it here, but just the Lord spoke to me very, very subtly. As I looked at the guy, I don't remember why I was looking at him. I was trying to figure out something. I think he swerved a little bit. I was trying to see if he was on his phone. And I looked at him as he drove by, and then my attention immediately went from that man on down. I was going to Wendy's, I think, to get me something to eat. And the Lord said, you know, that was a soul. That was a soul. The next car passed, he said, that was a soul. The next car, that's a soul. I looked over at the parking lot. There's souls. These aren't just people. These aren't just people that all swerved into your lane and frustrated you for a moment. That's a soul. And if you guys had head-on in the middle of the road and both of you died, he may go to hell. That's a soul. God was speaking to me. Everywhere you go, you need to be after souls. You need to be after opening their eyes and turning them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Satan has power over them right now, and God has called us to turn them from that. Amen. People's eternal destinies depend on us getting this right. I love the old song. It's an old song. I think Johnny Cash made it famous. I saw the light. How many remember that song? I can't see you, so I'm guessing some of you remember the song. I saw the light. No more. I can't sing those old country songs without singing it. Like, no more in darkness. A little nasally. No more in night. I am so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord. I need a banjo. I saw the light. And thank God, I like that song. And I do like that I saw the light. But we must go from seeking the light to reflecting the light and being the light. We cannot perpetually celebrate our conversion. That's my point. I love songs that celebrate our conversions. I saw the light. Yes, I did. Thank God for that. But at some point, we must go from celebrating our conversion to fulfilling our mission. If we're not careful, we become like some of these students. You know some of these students? They're like 58 years old. They've been going to college since they were 18. You know what I'm talking about? Well, what are you doing nowadays? You think for sure they're running some major corporation. They've been in school since they were 18 years old. I'm going after my 15th doctorate degree. They just love to go to school. And if you'll give them 5 minutes, they're going to tell you how smart they are. You know what I'm talking about. But you don't go to college to get a degree. Well, yes, you do. But that's not why you get college educated. You don't go there just to get a degree, hang it on your wall so every time you have somebody over, some of y'all taking advantage to take your mask off right now, aren't you? Oh, shame on you. You're like, yes, pastor, turn the lights off, that's perfectly fine. Yeah, look at my degree. I've been going to college, and I've got 15 degrees on the wall. They've been going to college. They got more degrees than a thermometer, Brother Arnold would say. Yeah, it's funnier when he says it, I guess. But you don't go to college to get a degree and then get a degree and then get a degree, constantly celebrating degrees, constantly celebrating graduation after graduation. You get the degree so you can get a job. So thank God that we saw the light, amen, but now we've got to get a job. We didn't get converted so we could sing about being converted for the next 50 years and then go in the rapture. We didn't get the Holy Ghost so we could sit around congratulating one another on getting the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost would give us power to be witnesses, and we go be witnesses because there are other people who need what we've discovered, they need to discover. So thank God for your degree, but now it's time to fill out an application and get a job and go fulfill your mission in the church. Go fulfill your mission in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, go ahead, clap your hands to the Lord for just a few seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Put your mask back on. Hmm. no time for us to be looking at the world either, folks. It's no time for compromise, no time for complacency, no time for discouragement. Amen. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How do we reprove them? Shame on you. Nope. Shine. Let our light shine. Listen, there are, for all the people that are shaking their fist at good, there are many people that are very hungry, sincerely hungry for what we have. Amen. They're all around us. They realize that something's going on in this world. Something's happening. They're fearful. They're fearful for their souls. They're fearful for their eternal destiny. And they're wondering, what's going on? Amen. How many of you know we're in the last days? You know that. There's other people that they don't understand that. So you need to be able to step in and let the Lord use you. Yes, but here's what you need to do to be ready. Yes, there is a thing called a rapture. Yes, there is a thing called tribulation. Yeah, things are wrapping up. Yeah, that peace treaty they're trying to sign right now. Yes, all that has to happen. You need to be able to step up and answer some questions and then point them. That's letting your light shine, see. And there's only one light. There's only one way, if that's true. You see that exit sign over there? You know the neat thing about that exit sign? If the power went off right now, that thing would continue to shine. It's got a backup. It's a law. The law says that everybody in the building must always be able to identify the exit, even if the power fails, even if all of a sudden the lights all burned out at the same time, even if somebody bumped against the light switch. Everybody in here, if somebody yelled fire, you need to know how to get out. You have to see the exit sign. Folks, we are the exit light. And watch what happens when the lights go off. You say, well, it's getting awful dark. That's okay. We don't have to get all worried about the darkness, because the darker it gets in the world, you don't even notice that exit sign till it gets dark. And it shines like crazy. In fact, your attention would go from all these purple lights and all the lights in the ceiling to that exit light when we turn all the lights off. That's where we are right now. So don't curse the darkness. You know what the darkness is doing right now? Darkness is attracting people to the truth, to the exit light. That's why I'm proud that we're on live stream. That's why I'm proud that we're not just meeting here on Sundays and then telling y'all go home and hunker down and don't talk to anybody. I'm telling you every week, go ahead. I'm telling you every week, you know what? Don't just limit your conversation about God to the church. Now go out and tell somebody about Jesus. And if you're not getting out of your homes, that's okay. At least get online or text somebody or call somebody. But get out there and shine. Be the light in this dark world. The world's getting darker, but the church isn't getting darker. Amen. You know, one thing I've discovered in all this mess that we're dealing with right now is that we've proven this. We can mess up your seating arrangements, and we can mess up the schedule. Some of us, there's some of y'all, you didn't think we could survive if we didn't have a morning and a night service every Sunday. Here we are surviving it. Oh, I'm losing you now. I feel it. And then we said, okay, you can't shake hands. Oh, my Lord, it was like we were saying you can't preach Acts 2:38 when we first said don't shake hands. Because that's who we are. That's what we are. And then we said, okay, we're going to have to wear masks. Okay, but you know what? Whatever your views on that is, I'm not here to debate that with you. I'm simply saying this. Here's what we've discovered. That even though we deal with all that stuff, we come in here to the house of God, and I've watched you week after week come in with a mask on. You don't want the mask. I don't want the mask, but we put them on anyway. And we come in here, and you don't want to sit there, but we have to have you sit there. So you sit there anyway. And so we come in here like this, and we're sitting up here where we don't normally sit. It's uncomfortable, and I don't like sitting in the front row, but he hadn't made me sit on the front row. But you know what? It's not about where I sit anyway. I've seen you deal with this. I'm going to worship God anyhow. And here I am having to stay away. I'm 6 feet away. All right, there's a row between us. I can't go shake hands with everybody after church. Can't hug next with everybody else. I can't even pass the offering anymore. And I've not seen anybody let that hinder the worship of God. You come in here every week after week, and you jump to your feet, and you just shine, and you let the Lord. So I'm just telling you that no matter matter what kind of darkness, whatever form it comes in, the church can still shine. The church can still and must still be the church. And devil, you can take that, because we're going to keep on shining. We're going to win this world to Jesus. Come on, we're going to be a light and we're going to shine. As dark as it may get, the light of God is going to shine brighter. We are the exit lights. Hey, world, listen to me. If you're out there in the world, stay on your feet. I'm closing. If you're out there in the world, I want you to know, when you look at us, you may not like everything about us. I'm not even sure I like green exit lights, to be honest with you, but it's what color it is, you know. You may not like everything about the church, but we're the church. And we're the way out. We got the message. The way out of this old world, repent. Amen. If this church were to catch fire back there in the back, and I said, oh, everybody, you got to get out the exit door. And Brother Pace said, I don't want to go out that door. I want to go out that door. And I said, oh, but brother, there's a fire back there at that door. If you go out that door, you're going to get burned up. And he says, I don't care. I'm going out that door. Guess what's going to happen to Brother Pace? And then Brother Pace looks around at other people, to Brother Miller, and says, I don't think we need to go out that door, do you? And Brother Miller said, no, I'm taking my family. We're going out. And you're going to get burned up too. In fact, you could lead a whole section with you out the wrong door. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. This is the way out. And repentance, it's not popular to preach anymore, but we still have to repent of our sins. That's part of the exit. And we baptize in the name of Jesus. That's part of the exit. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that's part of the exit. And let me tell you, if the church is burning back there, the second you step out that door, you're going to be rejoicing. The minute you get out that door, you're going to be, oh, thank God I came this way. Oh, thank God I didn't go that way. Oh, thank God that I listened to the preacher. Oh, thank God that I obeyed the Bible. Oh, thank God I almost went through the fire. I think I would have been burned up, but thank God. I may not have liked that direction, but I'm thanking God for that direction, and I'm thanking God for the exit. Come on, church, we need to shine like we've never shined. Hallelujah. I want you to let the Lord deal with you today. You can pray. You can come to the altar if you like. You can pray at your seat. You can sit. You can stand. You can kneel. Take your liberty today. Let's talk to Jesus for a little bit. If you need something from the Lord, you can come up here. We'll pray for you. But we need to talk to Jesus for a little bit. We're going to sing and worship. Amen. Just go ahead and talk to Jesus for a little while. Would you pray?
I am to worship.